A Benson Diary. And we start with some poetry by Dylan Thomas, In My Craft or Sullen Art. Not for the proud man apart from the raging moon I write on these spendthrift pages, nor for the towering dead with their nightingales and psalms, but for lovers, their arms round the grief of the ages, who pay no prowse or wages, nor heed my craft or art. Like a wistful soul lonely for home, my thoughts are homeward bound to Benson. Outside I can see and hear black beady-eyed rooks nearby debating in a many-branched tree that overlooks a grey stone courtyard garden. The blue sky is frothily dressed in powder puffs of whitish grey that look like cotton wool balls tossed into the sky by some playful Celtic giant in an idle moment. I am in Wales, nearby Solver, just a short walk along the grassy pathway with muddy puddles to dance about, through a couple of grey metal gates with their telltale blue armbands used to open and never forgetting to close, before reaching the coastal path to the sea. The sea, sometimes an untroubled calm, still pool of navy blue without any sign of sturm and drang, sometimes a swirling pool of sulky greys and foaming waves that break upon adamantine rocks that poke haphazardly from its cold majesty. The rocky coastline is simply magnificent. Its pavilions of folded rock, slate grey, menacing maybe, so polished that they reflect the sun, and so weathered and eroded that they ebb into the sea itself like so many bony fingers, while softer limestone outcrops and coves are carved into strange formations by the patient craftsmanship of wind and rain and tide and time. I've come to Wales to write. It's our second visit to this particular spot nearby Solver, on the edge of that outpost of Christian worship, St. David's. I have fallen hopelessly in love with this wild coastline with its wide skies and troubled waters. Sometimes the moon rides high on starry nights. We had a brilliant visit from the Northern Lights a few days back. Sometimes there are those dry days of flat grey skies and the ebb and flow of rain, lighter, then heavier, coming and going as the mood takes it. And as daytime peters into dusk and night, the skies fill with grandiose cloud formations that look as if they might be home to some pack of playful gods spinning by just for the crag. And every now and then, moonlight pokes through and coats the sea with her silver light before returning everything to the blackness of a widow's jet jewellery, and breaking waves are left alone to shout the odds to the solemn sky. I feel almost like I've found a lost youth, as maybe young Wordsworth felt in his beloved Lake District. And there's plenty more to be pleased about. For example, plenty of seafood freshly caught hereabouts. Lobster from the bay, warmed, glistening, doused with garlic butter and served with buttered bread. Crayfish, small and oh so sweet, and the whitest crab meat, undressed and perfect in its naked succulence. Our dogs, Milo and Finn, are in a sort of seventh heaven. The courtyard garden is 50 paces wide, and a ball can be thrown at a moment's notice so they can chase it down. Finn barks at the rooks and seagulls who call from the ruins of a red Victorian warehouse. And there are walks, all off the lead, short and long, along the coastal path or over fields, some muddier than others, and down many steep steps into the picturesque harbour, filled with boats with names like Lazy Lady or Nancy's Dream. My writing has been successful in its way, but I still have a mountain to climb. I've worked most days for 5 hours or so, and sometimes there's not too much to show for all the effort, and other days there's too much. It's the way of things, I fear. Leaving Benson on our way here to Solver, we use the Oxford Road to the roundabout. The improved footpath is a valuable addition to the roadscape and makes it safe for dog walkers getting in and out of the village. But, for heaven's sake, That junction between the Oxford Road and the Edge Road is surely not so very sensible. When I return, we'll be in time of remembrance. I know our village greatly appreciates the way we keep this time and the solemn silence by our war memorial. I also understand that although our village has grown greatly, it's still the same few who help us to organise this event and the Poppy Appeal, led by Pete Eldridge. All pleas generally tend to fall on deaf ears, but if others do not step up to play their part, these things we value in our community will disappear. The same is true for our Bensington Society and other societies in our village. The library, and indeed the churches and Benson Bulletin itself, are also reliant on volunteers. The few may be blessed, but we could do with quite a few more to give viability to those things that make our village special. And John Murphy ends with another poem by Robert Frost, my November guest. She talks, and I am fain to list. She's glad the birds are gone away. She's glad her simple worsted Grady is silver now with clinging mist. The desolate, deserted trees, the faded earth, the heavy sky, the beauties she so wryly sees. She thinks I have no eye for these, and vexes me for reason why.